AV team.
Yeah. He's
failing right now.
I had a problem with AV last night, too. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We do thank you. Even in our lightheartedness, we remember that we are here, and we want to submit ourselves to your word. We want to be led by you, to be impressed upon our heart by you and who you are. I pray that we would be very cautious with all the thoughts that are entering in our mind, so that we are diverting our attention to other people and things, and neglecting to let you speak to us. Father, I pray that you help us with all the burdens that we carry and the things that we care about. We wanna cast our cares upon you, knowing that you will sustain us. But as we cast our cares upon you, that we would put ourselves to be taught and led and spoken to by you this morning, whether it's through Sunday school and all the Sunday school classes, through Pastor John preaching today, through our music, through everything else that goes on as a body of Christ, we yield ourselves to you. And may you please speak to us and give us hearts that are soft and desiring to be shaped by you, O Lord. We thank you, and I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. All right, so we did a little bit on Jeremiah last week, just a little teaser. We are going to look at a little bit about the author of Jeremiah this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles open to the book of Jeremiah, please. And usually, where would be a good place to identify who the author is? Where would be a good place to identify where the author is, guys? Okay, first verse. Okay, so let's... Stephen and Kevin recommends us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. And I guess 2 and 3. Anybody want to venture? There's some big names in here. It's okay to struggle through reading through names, but would somebody already be willing to read first three verses here?
The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, and the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went to exile.
Okay, so who is our author here? Jeremiah, he's a son of Hilkiah. Okay, so he's a son of a priest, we see, right? Because Hilkiah is one of the priests who were in Anathoth. So this guy, we know, is a son of a priest. It does not indicate whether or not Jeremiah himself was a priest. This is just a piece of art from Horace Vernet. But you have this guy, as we see through some other passages in Jeremiah, that he was dictating to a scribe or his secretary Baruch, and he was about 20 years old when he began being called to be a prophet for the Lord. And that continued on for the next 40 years until about 60 years of age. And I think that in some ways there may be some comparisons of a prophet of the Lord today to some contemporary roles that we may have within the church. But it's not a really direct correlation. But I think as we read, if you have been doing your devotions in the book of Jeremiah, which, again, I hope and I encourage that you're doing that. Even as Kenneth this morning was sharing how his mommy is, do you call her mommy? Mother? Mom?
Ma.
Yeah, Chinese way, it's fine, ma. If his ma is, we heard this morning that she's doing her devotions also in Jeremiah. And then her and her son can talk about what they're reading together in the book of Jeremiah and see what the Lord is doing. I just encourage you to keep intaking God's word habitually. And anyways, if you're doing that, I hope that you're able to see that Jeremiah was a prophet as indicative of most prophets to a very stubborn people. So they were not willing to receive the message. And Jeremiah is very interesting because of the challenge that he faced and how it was so difficult. It was such a difficult time in the time of Judah that you get to see so much of Jeremiah himself, and we'll see today that it's almost as if the man Jeremiah cannot be delineated from his own message. It's like how he is. He's affected by the message, affected by the state of his countrymen, and like he is like the message incarnate, right? In a sense. And so, do you guys remember where Jeremiah would be? Do you guys maybe remember? Start erasing stuff. If I quiz you guys and ask you guys about the period of Israel. Israel's like time history. Do you guys remember it would look like? If I refresh you right now, it was a blue chart, and it gave like this picture. It began with Israel begins as what? A one kingship. What do we call that?
Monarchy.
Okay, it's a monarchy, and the first king was Saul, right? Okay. And then we go to David, and then we go to Solomon. And after that, what happens after Solomon? Right, we go into a divided kingdom, right? So this right here is called a what? United Kingdom. We call it the UK. And here we start calling it the Divided Kingdom. Very good. And and then what happened within this timeline? Do you guys remember?
Isn't like one of them like kind of messed up?
Okay, one of them kind of messed up. Okay, so the United Kingdom was divided into what? The North and the South. Very good. We the North. Okay. So you have the North. Not the good North, right? We the North, right? Is the game on tonight?
Tomorrow,
okay. So North and the South. And the South was which tribe? South was which tribe, guys?
Judah,
very good. Okay. And the North was all the other tribes, right? So all other. Okay, Joshua said one of the kingdoms messed up. Is that true or false? Huh? They both messed up, but one messed up worse, or one messed up what? One messed up before the other, or did they mess up at the same time? They were kind of all messed up at the same time, right? But one messed up worse first, and which was that? The North, right? So the North messed up, and then they were what? Exiled, right? So they're taken away. By which group of people?
Babylonians, Assyrians.
Which one? Babylonians or Assyrians?
Assyrians.
Good. Wow, you guys are really doing a good job of remembering all the things that we're teaching in the class. So I'm really proud of you guys. And then Judah actually hung on a little longer, right? And then they too were what? Exiled. And who were they exiled by? Very good. You guys are on it, man. Okay? So Babylonian. Babies. They were exiled by babies. Who actually took over power in world history after the Syrians, right? So very good. Now, I want you to give me a guess. First of all, was Jeremiah part of the north, we the north, or part of the south? We the south? We the south, right? And they are we the south. And what time period would you venture was Jeremiah? Like early, divided kingdom, mid, or late? Huh? Near the end? So that'd be late? Very good. So Jeremiah is nearly around here, I would say. Okay? So we put Jerry right here. Okay? Within, I don't know why I did that way, but okay, let's just say brackets, right? So around this time period is Jeremiah, okay? So just to give you a time frame, and notice what Preston said, right? If it's towards the late, he actually witnessed what?
Babylonian takeover.
The Babylonian takeover, the Babylonian exile. Very good. Nice, good. You guys are great. This is a very, okay, so I'd like us to, maybe you're not familiar with Jeremiah, maybe you're not familiar with what people call Jeremiah, but among all the OT prophets, he's like the most revealed in terms of his person. That's what I said earlier, right? He's most revealed in his heart and all that stuff. So what I'm going to have us do is I'm going to have you get into like little groups, bless you again, and read these verses and tell me, most of them are just one or two verses. They're not very long. But you're going to tell me about Jeremiah through these verses, okay? So you're going to come up with different words, and then I'm going to move the board over, and we're going to write the different words that you guys see, okay? So get in your little group. You guys are going to read 5 sections of Scripture, 5 to 7, and give some descriptor words. You guys with me? Let's learn about Jeremiah. These are just some of the verses that will help us learn about Jeremiah. Yes? Yes, good. I'm not sure why. I feel like I'm yelling. Yes. I always yell. Yes, good. Okay. I'm like just talking over Noelle because she's in it with me. She's in it. I feel her. All right, so get in your groups. Let's do that. Get some words, some descriptors, and then I will... I'll do like an interactive whiteboard here. Okay, group in the back, what do you guys say? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. What do you say? We'll start with you guys. Give me a word of Jeremiah. What was he about there? Descriptor.
Lamenting.
Lamenting, okay? We have the word lamenting.
Yeah.
Any other word that you guys came up with? Lamenting.
Same as crying.
Same as crying. Okay, so he says he's crying, lamenting. He's crying.
Expressive.
He is expressive.
Emotional.
Yeah. Wow.
Not in a bad way.
Sensitive.
And not in a bad way. Sensitive. Not in a bad way? Okay. All right.
He identifies strongly with the people.
Yes? What?
Huh? He identifies strongly with the people.
Oh, okay. So he identifies strongly. Good. Like he relates. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Are we just going through it? How about 13, 17? Same? Jeremiah 1, 6. Tell me about him.
Young and humble.
He's young and humble. Okay? Young, humble, good. What else? Any other words?
Insecure.
Insecure. How'd you get that? Okay, yep. That could be insecurity. That could be humility. I like that. I like that you brought that up. A lot of times people point to phrases like that, Moses, Jeremiah, I cannot speak, as just humility. Nobody ever mentions that they're insecure. They're not confident.
How about the word immature?
Immature, okay. In what sense?
Maybe spiritually immature.
Okay. How so? Why? Where do you see that?
Talking about how young he is. Young, repeatedly over and over again.
He is young, right?
Yeah.
Does young equate immaturity?
No.
Oh, this is a loaded question right here. Group of young people. Does young constitute immaturity?
No.
No. It does not constitute immaturity, but could you be young and immature?
Yes.
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 Yes. Could you be old and immature?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So good. I would say he's young. I'm not sure about spiritually immature. Unless you guys all feel that way. What else do you guys feel though? Jeremiah 37, 11 through 16. Any other words?
We skipped one.
Huh?
Misunderstood.
Oh, misunderstood. Okay. How do you get that?
Well, they thought that he was discerning the Chaldeans when he wasn't.
Say that again, Lucy, so everybody could hear.
They thought that he was discerning the Chaldeans when he wasn't trying to.
Right, exactly. So he actually wasn't deserting. He was just being... misread by people and accused, right? Thank you, Daniel, by the way, for turning on the AC, even though you weren't here yet. I think we feel it, right? You guys feel some AC?
Yeah.
It's helping. What else do you guys see? Any other words?
Unapologetic.
Okay, unapologetic. How do you get that?
He speaks like what he's told.
Right, so there is opposition. Is he someone who seems like he likes opposition? Like he wants to create opposition? Is he trying to I'm gonna just create enemies? No, he's not looking for it, absolutely not. But he is unapologetic with the message, yeah? Good, any other words? Any other words that you guys came up with? That's cool. I think that's really cool. Because you guys are taking a fresh look at this. Guess what? You guys can notice that he is, even from the get-go, you guys notice that he is lamenting, crying, emotional, sensitive. You guys use words like he identifies strongly with people, right? From a scholar's perspective, he is often known as, guess what? The weeping prophet, right? The weeping prophet. And I'm so refreshed that the class, you know, either you didn't know it or you knew it and you didn't just immediately go there with, here's a lingo that we've heard about Jeremiah before. I love that. It's refreshing. It means that maybe you're not familiar, with the phrase, but even just reading through God's word, see, isn't that cool? You're getting a read on the character of Jeremiah, yeah? He's known as, these are the phrases that scholars refer to him as. The weeping prophet, the reluctant prophet. He doesn't want to give, I love how we use that word unapologetic, but in some way he's insecure about this whole thing. He doesn't want to do it. If you are a type of prophet that you just love making enemies, I don't know if that's the heart of the message. You see what I mean? Some people love to make enemies. Or there's some preachers, pastors out there, they just love to preach a fire and brimstone message, and it's just like, yeah, I don't care like who hates me. And I'll continue to push the buttons just to make enemies on purpose. I don't think that's the core of the message. But I see there's a reluctancy. And yet an unapologetic nature of saying, I have to give the word of the Lord. Okay. A sister recently came up to me and we were talking. And this sister said, I've been praying about you. And I'm going to share something that I'm not sure if I should share with you. It may hurt, your feelings, but I really feel strongly by God that I have to say this. And I'm like, brace yourself. I'm like, yes, if you feel strong that God has put that in your heart to share, please do. And I remember it. It was a good message. It was a good challenge to me. It was something that someone prayed about, was reluctant about sharing it, but was confident to share with me, and it helped me, right? So I praise God for that. Don't always like it, right? I don't think anybody likes receiving that type of like hard message where we may need areas of correction, but it was good for me. So that's a reluctant prophet. He's also a prophet of loneliness. So we didn't mention that too much in here. Did you guys get that though? He's kind of lonely. He's on his own. In fact, he was commanded not to marry in 16:2. Maybe because I didn't put that verse down. Let's look at it. Right?
He did.
Oh, I did? Okay. All right. So you're just kind of lonely, right? That's what happens to single young adults as they get closer to that age, and they're just like, man, I need someone. I need what? What did you say?
Smart.
Yeah, right? So he doesn't need, you get to that point, you're like, I'd like to come home to somebody. It'd be nice. Well, Jeremiah never got that. Right? If you look at some of these other things, we're not going to read through, I didn't want to, but this guy was accused. Did you guys read the passage where he was lowered into a cistern? Right? That was the passage where Lucy said he was misunderstood. He was completely, his intentions were mistaken, and he was punished for it. Wow, that's hardcore. Against his will and carried away into Egypt, right? This guy's life, if you look at it as a recap, it's kind of like you failed in your job. That sucks too. Right? When you're just like always like, I got one job. My job is to help them and change their hearts and their ways. And like you're constantly failing at that. That's gotta just suck. That's gotta suck. I relate with that sometimes. Right? So here's the picture of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is facing a people, if you remember in chapter 5, Isaiah. Jeremiah is giving this message to Judah in this era, right here, remember, that you guys remember, towards the end, right before the exile. This is the hot zone, okay? This is like if you have a temperature gauge of how far you are pushing the limits of sinning against God, that thermometer is going into the hot zone right here. Because at this point, God's already warning them through Jeremiah, right? You can see it in your devotions. He's just like, You guys are jacked up. Trouble's coming your way. I got to reward you for your sin. Okay? You're gonna get a reward. It's coming. And people are gonna take you away. And Babylon wasn't even birthed yet. Okay? Babylon wasn't even birthed yet. So in the beginnings of the prophecy, you know, he's talking about this people that's gonna come from the north. We the north, right? Coming down. Not this north, but even further north on the literally very, very Toronto style, like very northeast, coming down. There's this people that you don't even know of. They're going to come and take you over because you're in the hot zone. And so here you see in just verses 1-3, can I have a volunteer read this? This is part of the scripture that talks about Israel refusing to repent. Can I have a volunteer read that?
Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refuse to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock.
Now, I don't remember the devotional for this day, okay? But I was reading through this, and I'm immediately asking myself, whoa. Is this in any way me, right? So I don't know if the Durano devotional did that. You guys could probably take a look. But when I was reading this, and I was finding texts to bring into the Sunday school class, even as I was putting this down and I was changing the font, I was just reading through, I know this passage, I stopped. And I paused and I was like, whoa, Lord, is there any part of this that speaks about me? You have struck them down, so you've already seen punishment for your sin. And we'll talk about that, I think, in the following weeks. Even as Christians, are we saved from our sins in terms of forgiveness and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ? The answer is yes. Are we given freedom from our sins? Answer is yes. Does God continue to love us unrelentingly? The answer is yes. Do we stand before God as his beloved? The answer is yes. However, there is still consequence of sin. Right? There's still consequence for sin in your life. You're going to reap it. You'll be rewarded for your sin. Not rewarded, I guess that's not the right word. I used that as a funny statement earlier, but no, you will reap the consequences of sin. That means big sin and small sin. Sin that you allow to keep going in your life. You're going to reap the consequence of that. I think I'm going to talk about that concept a little bit more, and if I don't, just remember this, that there are consequences still for your sin, even though you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb, right? And yes, there's this bema seat of judgment where God, Jesus, will come and judge the world, and that's a judgment for evil, against evil, and you'll be punished for evil. That's where all the non-Christians get punished and all. But the Christians have a time of judgment for their good works, right? So don't think that we're not judged according to how we live either. Like, you might not care, but there's a judgment for how you live your life, right? And so I just want to like leave that, because even as I'm reading this, I was like, oh man, is there areas where I feel no anguish? You know what that means? What's a word for people's condition when There's, you face the consequence of sin, or you're sinning and you feel no anguish. What's a word for that? To describe the condition of the heart.
Cold.
Desensitized. Keep going. Hardened.
Not guilty.
Not feeling guilty. No remorse. You're stiff-necked. You're calloused. Desensitized.
You're not even aware
of it anymore. And so when I was reading through this, like, those were the words coming through me. Oh, God. Is there any area that I'm calloused? I'm not aware. I'm not aware of it anymore. And that worries me. I think that there's, not to the point of anxiety, but it worried me to, like, God, reveal. Search my heart, examine me, show me, God. And that's what I got stuck with when I was putting this slide together, right? And I was just reflecting on this. And I took so much time reflecting that I started looking for, like, wallpaper, and I looked for this nice paper, and I just kept reflecting and searching and type on the right background. And that, you know, took about 15 minutes because I just kept pausing and thinking. And so I wonder if that does it to you, because this is the heart of the people that Jeremiah is trying to bring God's word to. He's trying to bring God's word to them, and they are just, they don't see anymore. It's like, you know how you've been in a message before, and I'm not saying how this is it, okay? But you know how you've been in a small group or a message, and you hear someone respond to that and go, you know, I've heard that before, but man, that was such a powerful comment. That really struck me to the heart. Have you guys ever heard that before? And you're like, that didn't hit me at all. And now, you know, I want to be fair. There is room for the Holy Spirit, you know, to convict in different areas. But boy, if it's repeatedly happening and people around you keep responding and you're not, you need to ask God for help, brother or sister, right? You need to ask God for help and say, God, boy, am I feeling no anguish? Am I distant from you? Other people have heard this message too, but you seem to be convicting them, and they seem to be changing and growing from this. Lord, what's happening inside of my soul? Help me, Lord, right? You guys with me? Because this is real for me. I'm like, man, is there areas where, like, I can't hear it anymore? I can't hear a message that's coming in. You guys with me? Yeah. So just a way of, you know, encouragement to think and reflect on that. And God's not done with you, okay? That's a good part, right? We talk. You are God. You are beloved. And God's not done with you. You're His handiwork that He's working on. But we also have to have that part of allowing Him. God, change. Please. Continue to change me. Ooh, there's this big, like, root that A.W. Tozer says, man, you can reduce your spiritual growth from decades to, like, weeks if you can be willing to ask God to, like, take that big root out. If you're just willing to just take that thing out by the roots, man, it doesn't matter how young you are, right? It doesn't matter. You can just take off spiritually. And that's why some, you know, to make the young and the old age analogy, that's why some older people are still spiritually immature, because they have not allowed God to uproot some of these big things in their life. And they're saved and they're old. Someone just recently came to me talking about their spouse, and they're like, I'm so worried about my spouse because I know they're saved, but they don't have any passion for God. They don't have any passion for His word. They're stuck. And I'm just thinking, oh man, and they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, you don't have to do anything. I said, this is not your responsibility. This is God's responsibility. But it is sad for that person. They're old in age. They're involved in church. I mean, you see them at church. They're saved, but they're skating by. And all the younger in faith are surpassing them spiritually because they're not dealing with some of the roots, as A.W. Tozer called it, right? Like this, you know, if you could just be willing to pull that out, if you're willing to let God help you with that. But you consume them, but they refuse to take correction. Ah, this is, see, these are the words that hit me hard. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. I stopped here. This is like this? I almost did it. It's not smart board. Okay. But I had it over and I almost did it. I was like, where's my orange one? That's gonna be orange. They refuse. They refuse to repent, right? Oh, but you're laughing because the words, huh? Not what I was about to do. Like, are there areas though? Oh man, we gotta bring it in. Like, are there areas where you're refusing to repent in your life? Because that is the message that's being brought to Judah. Thermometer is getting hot. Woo. You're refusing to repent. Don't keep going, guys. Don't keep going like this. You know, that warning can come to us today. Yeah? Yeah? Good. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch the video, the Bible Project video. I wanted to do that in the beginning just to do that. And then,
There's a lot of slides there.
I'm gonna go where I want. Okay, check this out though. Jeremiah, where's Jeremiah at? We don't need Bible Project, dude. You know, Jeremiah is in this era of Preston said here, very good. And look at the prophets who were prophesying at this time. We have Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel was during this time of Jeremiah. Woo, that's crazy. But like, where was Daniel at?
North.
Daniel was already in the north, right? After the Babylonian exile, right? And then you got Ezekiel after that. That's pretty cool, right? So he's in the company of some prophets at the time. I don't think they graduated from the same school of prophecy. But they were contemporaries, okay? They're probably not like buds, like hanging out like, dude, we gotta get coffee. Hey, Habakkuk, let's get together.
Do you think they were aware of each other, though, at all?
In some instances, contemporary prophets were aware of each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna speak to this, so I didn't research that question. But in some instances, there are, right? We looked at a few other prophets that also had contemporaries and knew of them, but one was in the north, yeah. One's in the south, right? Very good. And then also, we see that how many kings did Jeremiah prophesy through? Huh? Yeah? Is it four? Okay. Five. Right? And some kings, if you guys remember these, were only there for a short period of time. Their career as a king was very short. Where would you go if you were curious in your devotions and you're like, hey, I want to read about when this era was? Where would you read? Where would you guys go in the Bible? If you want to read about kings, if I want to read about kings, I want to read about these five kings, where would I go in the Bible? Probably the book of Kings. Very good. Scott nailed it. Okay? So, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23-24, we read about these guys. How many of you know how to find out really quickly if that king is good or bad? Go to it real quick. How many of you can tell me, you guys know, is there a phrase that pays? Is there a phrase that pays that if you look in it in your Bible, 2 Kings 23-24, you can find out for me in a jiffy? What was it say? They and this king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Or this king did good in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, let's check it out. Look at it real quick. Tell me which kings were good. I mean, you guys might already know. I wouldn't have named my son after one of these guys. But of course, we named him after the French version. Even though Bex hates the language of the French.
What?
I don't know why. She says it's... You could ask her later. I don't know why. But she always does the British accent at home thinking that she's... You should ask her to do it sometime. It's really funny. She'll go on for like a long time. Okay, so which kings are good? We got Josiah, good, bad?
Good.
Good king, right? Okay, so... the beginning of Jeremiah's writing was in the period of Josiah. But why was Jeremiah's message so bad, though? Because even though Josiah had this personal revival, and he smashed down all the high places, remember? Found the word of the Lord, responded to it. The people did not repent. Okay? So the message had to go. How about Jehoahaz? Evil. It says evil. Jehoiakim. Evil. Jehoiachin. Evil. And Zedekiah. Evil. So what we see is, wow, just a sea of red in the time of here, the fall of Jerusalem, and the exile right after Zedekiah, right? Or it was actually right around that time. Okay, so a pretty nasty picture. That's the state of which Jeremiah is preaching to. That's why you see this picture of him here and really feeling this message, incarnating this message. And I'm going to ask you guys a question about that next week, okay? Let's pray and we'll ask God to. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that we can get deep in understanding the background of the book that we're doing our devotionals in. Lord, I thank you for giving insight. I know for me, knowing a little bit of the background helps me really understand the impact of the reading a lot more. And I pray that that is the same case for my brothers and sisters, that even as we look at the background and the nature of just even the author alone today, Lord, there's so much to learn from. And that it will allow your word as a springboard to just be thrust into our hearts and create change. Even as we think about the people of Judah who were not repentant, and our class used the words stiff-necked and hard-hearted in certain areas, callous, desensitized, no remorse, and not feeling any conviction of sin anymore, I pray that we may camp on that a little bit. And God, that you would remind us that we are beloved, but Lord, we do need to not minimize the sin in our life. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes focused on Christ, and help us, O Spirit, to be the power in our life to allow us transformation, to be more like Christ. We thank you for this morning, and we pray for the following time of worship. Oh Lord, would you be with Pastor James as he delivers your word? I know he had a busy week and so many different areas of ministry, but I pray that he would be your mouthpiece to convict and to nourish and encourage and edify your people this morning. I pray that with all my heart, Lord, that our church together would worship in one accord and be blessed because of your presence here with us. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.